Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Just woke up, got a cup of coffee in my hand, and I'm raring to go, brother.
Coffee, that is so last week. Do you know what I'm drinking? I've moved on. My coffee days are behind me.
Right.
It's not milk. It's not coffee, it's chamomile tea.
Oh, chamomile tea, right, okay, sorry, okay. So you're retiring from the world of caffeine, Chris?
Yeah, I thought it's time to try something a little bit different, a new strategy, try and get caffeine out of my system, and then I can reboot, potentially, you know, I can reintroduce it into my life, and it will have an effect again. I think I've got, like, a tolerance to coffee, so that's my strategy.
So you say you're giving up coffee. How many coffees have you had today?
I've had one coffee, just one.
Okay, that's not too bad, actually, for you.
I know, right? I think by this point in the day, I've usually had at least five or six coffees. So
that's
this is the beginning of a new me. It all starts here.
Your diet is the same as people who come over and have terrible jet lag.
It's that bad. Speaking of jet lag, actually, Ryotaro is in London in about, what, 3 or 4 hours?
Oh.
You should be there to welcome him at Terminal 5.
I should go down to Terminal 5 down to Heathrow.
What
business does he have in town?
I don't actually. He tends to do a lot of travel consulting. So he travels the world and kind of learns about how to promote places, you know, and see how other countries do it. So he's come to the UK, I think, to see how we promote the UK and then to bring that knowledge back to Japan and teach his newfound wisdom. So I think he's going to Cambridge. So if anybody's listening, This podcast is coming out today, the day we've recorded it. So if you're in Cambridge, walk around Cambridge and you probably, there's a good chance you'll bump into him and then you can get a selfie. That's all he's good for.
Well, I mean, I guess there'll be a lot of, how do we promote ourselves as the Brits? I mean, we just sort of, we're an island nation and we think we're better than everyone else. It's the perfect blueprint.
What more could you want? Perfect, job done. But I don't know why he's going to Cambridge exactly. We'll see. He tends to brag about where he's gone on his Instagram stories quite a lot. So if you want to go and check him out, Ryotaro Japan or Ryotaro the Man or something it's called on Instagram, he'll be loads of pictures coming up of London and Cambridge in the next few days. So
that means
keep track of him that way.
So that means that me and Ryotaro could have done a podcast instead of this remote version we've got here. Should have got him in a room.
We could do. I'll drop him a line and see if he can reach out to you. Have you ever met him? You've never met him, have you, actually?
No, I don't think I have. But I feel like I've known him because...
Right.
Because we hang out
so much.
You
feel like you know him.
Me and you.
Well, actually, on Journey Across Japan, the day after you left, I met Ryotaro and carried on the cycle. So it felt like you met, but you didn't. So maybe finally this time. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Get down to Heathrow Airport. But I've had a weird week.
Right.
Cutting out caffeine aside, I've got loads of people the other day messaging me. Turns out the aforementioned cat documentary that I mentioned, I think, last week.
Yeah.
The cat documentary I did like 3 or 4 years ago. It's resurfaced yet again. Last month, I think it featured on Emirates aircraft. So people flying on Emirates planes around the world could see me walking around Japan with various cats. Today, it was on TV in the Czech Republic. So I got loads of people messaging me from Czech Republic, just showing me photos they'd taken of their television with me sat on a sofa amongst a pile of cats. It's brilliant. Didn't even know I wanted that to happen, but it made my day.
Does YouTube have a carte blanche kind of an agreement with Emirates where you can just put YouTube content on there? And do you get a little bit of cash is that how it works?
It's not... It's not YouTube content. This cat documentary, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called... Nope, I've forgotten it. Mm. But it's got cats in it, basically. And 3 or 4 years ago, a documentary film producer came to me and was like, Chris, we think you'd be perfect to make a documentary about cats.
I
was like,
presenter,
I'm definitely not perfect. I'm the worst possible choice. But he still wanted to use me. for some reason. We went ahead with it, and yeah, he seems to be distributing it even now, 3 years after it was released, two or three years after it was released. It's popping up in South America, on Emirates, and now in Czech Republic. Oh, and Sweden. It was in Sweden last month as well.
Okay. So, oh, nice.
Who knows where it could be next?
Fun.
Could be coming to a country near you.
Repeat fees, baby.
If only. Yeah, I should have written that into my contract. I was very stupid and took an upfront fee. Don't do that. Learn about how to do contracts, ladies and gentlemen. but another thing that's been bugging me this week, lots of people have been tweeting me and commenting. You may recall, I think 2 years ago, I made a video called 12 Things Not to Do in Japan. Do you remember seeing that one, Pete?
I do remember that very clearly.
It's actually the biggest, the most viewed video I've ever made. I think it's got like 12 million views. Mm. And it's just me going around warning foreigners not what to do when in Japan. And somehow that video seems to have been featured on a Japanese forum or vlog or somewhere recently. I don't know where. Because it's got a massive surge of comments from Japanese viewers. And I don't really want that. I never really wanted that because I thought it might bring a lot of scrutiny. Mm. And it has on one particular point. And the point in question is the point where I said, don't walk through Japan eating and drinking whilst walking. Like, don't go and walk and eat at the same time. Mm. And a lot of the comments say, oh, that's not true. You can do that. We don't have that rule. But I still stand firm on it. Though it's not illegal. I do it as much as anyone. I do go down the street and I walk and eat often. Mm. It's kind of like a rule not to do if you don't want people staring at you and looking angry at you.
Yeah, exactly.
It is quite uncommon.
Yeah, you don't see anybody eating on the street, apart from people who aren't from there.
Basically me.
Yeah.
Fried chicken in hand. there's several reasons why. First off, people are just generally conscious about making a mess, and it's hard to deny when you're eating fried chicken or anything, it's going to be crumbs and batter and despair dropping all over the floor. Especially if it's me, which is probably why I get the look of death so often when I'm eating in public. But, another reason is also, apparently after World War II, there was a lot of rationing. Obviously, food wasn't easy to come by for a lot of people. And they say that they don't like it when you eat and walk at the same time because you're not showing appreciation for the food, right? It just seems like you're taking it for granted. And so a lot of elderly people in Japan kind of held on to that after the war, even into the economic, when Japan enjoyed an economic boom. And so that's another reason why people don't do it. So two factors. But for the most part, I'd say don't do it. Just be careful. Be wary. But if you really feel hungry in public, just go for it. Do it. Break the rules.
I stand with Chris.
You must walk through Japan an awful lot with a sachet of Kulish.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's an ice cream, though, isn't it? You're fine with that. You could probably argue that that's like an energy jelly and you need it to get moving.
You say that, but the other week I was driving through the countryside on a road trip to see Natsuki and I thought, you know what? I'm going to have a Kulish.
Yeah.
I got the Kulish, open it up, and I had a little bit, and then I kind of sealed it back up and it was just sort of sitting there on my lap. And then 20 minutes later, I opened it up again and all
water.
The ice cream had melted and it bloody sachet exploded all over my trousers and all over the car. A wave of cheap vanilla ice cream, the likes of which the world has never seen. And I arrived in Yamagata to see Natsuki just covered in ice cream.
Yeah.
And I vowed never to have a Kulish again.
Covered in a mysterious white liquid. Oh, Chris, my word. In your crotch as well.
You're not doing me any favours.
I am doing my best, Chris, every time somebody tweets me, as discussed, about Lottie Kulish, and you're CC'd in all of them as well, so you'll know.
I have to
CC Lottie Kulish in, and have they got back to me? They've posted on Twitter since. Why, oh why, they don't see that I'm the only person on the internet tweeting about goddamn Kulish. Why won't they notice me, Chris? Why won't they notice me?
I don't know, but you've started a legitimate movement because there's so many damn tweets about this bloody ice cream now. It's inescapable.
Yes.
Absolutely frustrating as hell.
Love it.
There you go. Anyway, today I come to you not with Kulish, but of stories of a cheap hotel room. The cheapest hotel room in all of Japan. How cheap is it, though? Well, that's what I'm about to reveal. I was going to go and sip a bit of my tea then, but I realised when you're doing a podcast, you can't stop talking.
People
you think
don't
after 2 years
that.
Of doing a podcast, you think after all these years, 2 years almost, I'd know how to do things on a podcast.
Yeah.
So basically, a business hotel in Fukuoka has opened a new hotel room, which is... It's only 130 yen to stay the night, which is what? What even is that? It's about $1.30, $1.20, or a pound.
Yeah, about a quid.
Which is a... Yeah, it's basically free. In fact, I think that's less than the cost of a Kulish. Maybe a Kulish is about 100 yen.
I think it's so a bit more than that. Kulish, yeah, I think it might be 200 yen.
Mm. Yeah. You can stay in a room for the cost of a Kulish.
What?
I think the average price for accommodation, a hostel dorm, is about 2,300 yen. Capsule hotels, 4,500 yen. Love hotels, 8,000 yen. So give you some sort of sense of scale. Mm. It's very, very cheap, 130 yen. And it's located in a good area in Fukuoka City, about 15 minutes walk from Tenjin, which is one of the main districts in Fukuoka. So it's in a pretty good, lucrative position. Mm. And it is a little old-fashioned ryokan. But can you guess, Pete, why the room is so cheap? Because it does come with a caveat. It does come with a catch. What is it? What do you reckon it is? Now I'll have some tea.
What's the name of it?
It's called Business Ryokan Asahi. Don't Google it.
Do you
Don't
have
cheat.
To? Do you have to drink your weight in Asahi?
It's not a bad idea.
I don't know how that's a business. To be honest, I can't figure it out.
Well, basically, the hotel has one room that doesn't seem to be doing well. Room 8. I don't know why.
Right.
Although, looking at videos of the room, it does look pretty dingy. But basically, if you stay in this room, room 8, and you pay 130 yen, you have to be live-streamed on the hotel's channel, the hotel's YouTube channel, and you have to basically have your entire time there filmed and uploaded and shown to the world in real time on their YouTube channel called $1 Hotel. What do you reckon about that?
So you're basically a cam boy.
Effectively, although there's they've switched the sound off, so there's no sound for copyright reasons, unfortunately. basically, you become an in real life streamer for the night. There's no blind spots in the room itself, so it's quite a small room. Mm. Fortunately, the toilet isn't in the room; it's down the corridor in a shared bathroom.
Cool.
But I think the old-fashioned hotel is basically struggling with occupancy. And the owner wanted to see if he could run the room off of ad revenue instead of accommodation fees, which is quite a bold idea. And I was looking through the live videos. One of them had about 72,000 views, which could have generated a whopping $20 to $30 of ad revenue. So I don't know if he's going to be able to really cover the cost of people staying in the room the night just through ad revenue, especially if it's a live video. I don't think you even have ads on live videos. So a bit of a flawed idea. That said, it seems to have generated hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of publicity throughout Japan, as I've seen this kind of story featured everywhere. So I think that's the real genius of the idea, the real genius behind creating this cheapest hotel room in Japan. It's just the sheer amount of free publicity he's been getting.
That's incredible. I mean, if that was in... I know Fukuoka's a big city, but like, if that was in Tokyo, that just, no matter where it was in Tokyo, could be anywhere, people would be taking them up on that. Because how many people kind of, that's one of the first things they ask you, certainly on the emails and stuff, you know, how can you save money going around Japan? How can you save money on hotels and stuff? Because they are a massive, massive expense when it comes to a holiday.
Oh, the biggest, especially in Japan. Mm. I think this guy... His ryokan is a bit old-fashioned. It's an old-fashioned inn.
Yeah.
If you look at the videos, and you can check it out. It's called $1 Hotel. It's on. That's the name of the YouTube channel. And they've got lots of videos, which I'll get to in a minute. But the rooms are kind of old-fashioned. They've got tatami mat floors. You sleep on a futon. Mm. It's very minimalistic. And I think perhaps, given the Olympics are coming next year, we've seen a massive boom in hotel construction across the country. And so perhaps he's kind of been pushed out the market, as it were, and this is his last desperate attempt to claw back some guests.
Do you have to... are you only allowed to spend one night? Because obviously he wants variety on his shows. Do you... is it that? Or can you stay for more than one day?
trying to game the system already.
Yeah.
Already trying to find ways of gaming the system.
Stay for 2 weeks.
It's true, though. You stayed 2 weeks. How much would that be? That would be... it's like 1,800 yen.
Yeah.
Like $15 for 2 weeks of accommodation. Although you will have been watched by potentially thousands of people around the world.
Mm. Who cares?
Don't know if you'd want that or not. Would you want that? How do you feel about it?
I mean, you know you're being watched, so whatever, you know, don't get up to anything naughty. It would certainly help me, well, certainly help me cut down on doing naughty stuff.
Viewers would be treated to the scene of you just sitting there drinking beer night after night alone. Beer and one cup sake.
Don't drink beer in the house, thank you, so.
Sure. Lies. But you have to refrain from being naked, unfortunately, right. Or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. I did actually sit down earlier and watch a few of these live streams. And, you know, I think live videos on YouTube can be up to 12 hours in length. And you can see, I watched the owner. He filmed himself because presumably there was no guests that day. And I opened the video and it just opened to a shot of the room with a desk in it and a whiteboard. And it said, "I'm in a meeting coming back at 5 p.m. was written on the whiteboard. So there's nothing going on. So I flicked forward 12 hours earlier. To about 5 a.m. and I could see him sleeping on a futon in a relatively dimly lit room, and the whiteboard just had written on it "Oyasumi," good night, literally. And then I kind of swiped forward to 8:30, and he woke up at 8:30. He tidied up the futon and he made a coffee. He sat at his desk for a little bit, typed, and then he replaced the good night whiteboard with a good morning one. And then after about half an hour, he wrote on the whiteboard, "I'm going out now, back at 2 p.m. and disappeared.
You
and
get
left
back here,
there,
mister.
So.
You get back here and entertain us. This isn't The Sims.
It's quite anticlimactic, right? It's quite unimpressive. Yet, like a lot of, you know, like a lot of live videos, there's something kind of weirdly hypnotic about it. You want to see what happens next. You want to know what's going on. And while I was watching it, there were about, you know, 51 people watching it in real time and quite a lot of comments going on. So... yeah, he seems to have amassed a little bit of a following.
Yeah, I got a lot of time for
that. You can watch it now. I've put the link on there. I've sent you the link, Pete.
Yeah.
Go and look at it. See what he's doing now. Should we see what he's doing now?
You have a look, because I don't want to trust my Wi-Fi to allow it.
All right. So it's 7 p.m. on Wednesday, and it's just nothing going on in the room. It's just the whiteboard on the desk saying, "Going out for a meeting again. ..." back at 8:30 p.m. So in 90 minutes, shit's going to hit the fan. Something amazing's going to happen. Probably he's going to come in and go to sleep.
He's out for a meeting. I like that. Yeah. He's out for a meeting every
single day. Seems to do that an awful lot.
With his bank manager going, "You've got to stop this, Steve. You've just got to stop this. This is no way to run a company."
The publicity was good for a week, but you've got to get back to actually trying to get guests in there. Yeah, would you go on there though? Would you do it? Would you go and make a video on your next trip?
I think so. That would be a fun little day. I love Fukuoka, one of my favourite parts of Japan. So yeah, cool.
Well, it is in a good area. It's like in Tenjin,
Tenjin's right where the
action is.
The drinking district and near that little market near the river. Lovely, beautiful.
Yeah, you've got the Yatai Mura stands and stuff. Yeah, maybe I'll give it a try. Although. It could be a little bit dodgy because, you know, people might recognise you. The great Pete Donaldson of Abroad Japan podcast fame. He's right there right now. Let's go and wait outside the front until he wakes up.
Yeah.
Could be a little bit risky.
I forgot the back entrance, so to speak.
You might have a group of fans waiting outside, coolish in hand, to welcome you with open arms.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There you go. If you want to stay in the cheapest hotel in all of Japan ever, the $1 hotel, Business Ryokan Asahi, 130 yen for one night. Go and check it out. It's, if you do go there, let us know how it is. Go and send us a fax machine and let us know if it was worth it or not. We'll hear your review. And speaking of the fax machine, what have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got an email from Gurgly from Hungary. I think that's how you pronounce your name. Yeah, Gurgly. Here, Chris and Pete. I've finally caught up with all the episodes, so I thought I'd celebrate it by sharing a story that happened at the end of my second trip to Japan. We were passing time at Haneda Airport with a friend of mine waiting for our return flight when an elderly Japanese man with a long grey beard suddenly ran past us dragging a small suitcase. The occurrence would not have been too particular if not for the Japanese schoolgirl uniform the old man was wearing. Skirt, high socks, the whole shebang. So we've got an old man in a schoolgirl costume running through Haneda Airport. Wow.
Standard day out, isn't it?
My friend and I looked at each other in disbelief, too dumbfounded to even take our smartphones out for a quick picture. This must have been some kind of joke, we thought, or maybe we happened upon a movie set or something. But there were no cameras around, so we just shrugged and moved on to get a cold mug of Asahi Super Dry before our flight. Filing the strange occurrence into the Japan is weird folder in our minds. It was later back home when, out of curiosity, I googled old Japanese man in schoolgirl uniform and was finally able to put an end to the airport mystery. There's quite a bit of information about said man on the internet, Mr. Hideaki Kobayashi, better known as the sailor suit old man. Apparently he's quite a phenomenon in Japan. I've since forgotten why he dresses this way, but I sure as hell will never forget his little chicken legs in tiny skirts running past me at the busy airport. Certainly, that is something else. Fantastic.
Scarred forever.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. I looked up this guy because, you know, there's not going to be many folks doing this. He's either somebody who's escaped from some sort of facility or somebody with interesting motives. And I googled him. He looks like he's a famous guy. He's often referred to as Japan's most famous schoolgirl. Even though it is just an old man in a dress. Hideaki, he was an IT engineer and an experienced photographer. And he just thought, you know what? I'm going to do something a little bit fun. And he went to some sort of art and design conference and dressed up in a skirt, and everyone loved it. And it kind of stuck, you know, kind of stuck to this great idea. And to quote Kobayashi-san, he says, I want to give society an element of surprise and impact, and I want to cheerfully enliven Japan. Cheerfully enliven Japan.
Yeah.
If you want to see this guy, it's quite an interesting sight. Just type in sailor suit old man onto Google, and there's no escape from his... no escape for him, to be honest.
The actual piece itself is from Kotaku, which is probably my favourite video game site. I love a little peruse around there.
They are good.
It sort of reminds me of when dads in the 90s used to dress as the Spice Girls for like nights out on a Saturday.
Oh God, I remember that all too well.
Do you remember, like,
horrific.
When dads were just doing...
Yeah,
they're just working through some stuff in their mind, but they don't want to... They're just working through some stuff. They just like the way the tights feel, and they just, you know, they don't want to admit it to themselves that it's actually quite fun.
It was horrific. I remember it all too well, and I've done a good job getting rid of that image out of my mind of loads of old men.
Every dad did it. Every
British
dad did
guys
it.
Dressed as Spice Girls. Terrible. But... yeah, go and check out this guy, Kobayashi-san. If you see a guy, an old guy running through Haneda, dressed as a Sailor Moon outfit person, don't be afraid. He's maybe do be afraid.
Be a bit afraid.
He's famous, so it's okay.
He's healthy.
It's okay to dress like that. Yeah. Never know. You might see him when you're over here next time, Pete.
Yeah, famous people have never done anything evil.
Absolutely. That's that's the way the world works. We've got one from Melissa here. He says, hi Chris and Pete, we're Melissa and Ashlyn.
Cool.
We're finally
names,
going to
guys.
Japan. It's all thanks to you, Natsuki, Ryoto and Pete. Thank you. We have a few questions about our December to January New Year trip to Tokyo. We are a lesbian couple and I'm worried we'll show that too much. We may go into a love hotel together. Do you think that it will be uninterrupted? We haven't heard much about lesbian views in Japan, actually. And they've got a second question they ask. We'll hopefully be going to Hakone for the day and wonder if you know much about the area in terms of points of interest and things to do. Mm. Thank you, Melissa. Interesting one. I think I've talked about before how I tried to get into a love hotel with my friend Regan, Australian bloke, Regan the Vegan. Several years ago, and they turned us down. They wouldn't let two guys go into a love hotel. But I have seen... It seems to be okay with girls. I've got quite a few friends that seem to have gone in effortlessly if it's two girls. I'm not sure why that's okay, but guys can't. But it is on a case-by-case basis, really, depending on the love hotel. But I don't think it'll be interrupted. If you do get in there, I don't think anyone's going to burst in and interrupt anything, so don't worry about that.
Unless it's one of those hotels that are on the internet.
Yes, unless it's the aforementioned 100 yen hotel. But, you know, I don't know anyone who is a lesbian in Japan, so I can't really offer much of an insight. What I will say is I don't think it'll be that much of an issue. I don't think anything will really happen. So don't let it, you know, don't let that stand in the way of a trip or worry about it too much. In terms of lesbian views in Japan, I'm not sure. It's not really talked about that much. Do you have any knowledge on the subject, Mr. Donaldson?
There's gay areas and stuff, so I mean, like so you'll be able to find bars and stuff that might pique your interest. But like, no, I mean, fundamentally, I've not seen any female gay people have any problems. It would probably be in the news, wouldn't it? But no, seems fine. But yeah, I mean, they are a bit backwards on their gay rights, but.
Certainly,
I've not heard any horror stories anywhere.
Well, public displays of affection just aren't really a thing in Japan in general. Mm. So, you know, if you do anything in public, heads might be turned just for the reason you're doing public displays of affection in public. So, yeah, that's the only factor I would say. Yeah, don't worry about it. Have a great time. And let us know, actually, if you do get into a love hotel, or if they turn you down, let me know on the podcast. It'd be quite interesting to find out. And turning our attention to the second question about Hakone. Have you ever been to Hakone, Pete, the hot spring resort Tokyo and Nagoya?
I sent my friends off to do it, and they didn't do it, and then they came back, and I was like, why didn't you go to the onsen? Because I was a bit worried about my tattoos, I wouldn't be allowed in and stuff. But they seem to... They just chinned off the whole idea and did something else instead. So, what can you do?
Well, I mean,
what can you do, Chris?
I have been to Hakone once and I quite liked it. The weather wasn't very good, but I had a nice time. I got a room. I went on a date there and I got a room with a private onsen, and that was really nice. Just sitting in your own kind of private hot spring in your room, and that would be the first thing on my list. Try and get a place where you get a kind of hot spring in your room. It's quite rare throughout Japan, and Hakone is one of the places you can do it. There's a great open-air museum as well. It has some fantastic exhibits and things. And I find a lot of people get selfies by the Hakone Shrine or Lake Ashi. I think everyone that's come to Japan ever, except Pete Donaldson, has got a photo there by that shrine. I don't know why it's that one. Mm. Always that shrine, Hakone Shrine. And also Hakone Ropeway to the Owakodani volcano area. It's quite a volcanic area. There's like steam and stuff coming up. There's sulfur kind of bubbling and whatnot. But also on a good day, you might be able to get the money shot of Mount Fuji. And that's my main reason for going there. Oh. You know, trying to see Mount Fuji and enjoying the hot spring. But Hakone is a lovely place. And the next time I go, hopefully the weather will not let me down as it did the last time. But yeah, definitely worth trying out.
Lovely old job.
Anything you'd like to add, Mr. Donaldson?
Well, since I've never been, no. But you know, sounds like a lot of fun. Maybe I do need to sort of just pin down all of the things I've never done. I've still not been to Tokyo Game Show properly. I need to do that next year, which is a disgrace, really. I think I'd try to
attend... You went the first time we met in Japan, didn't you?
No, I was supposed to be going. I never actually got there. I met up with a mate who was at Tokyo Game Show, but I never actually got down to the blooming thing itself.
You bloody what? I remember driving you across Yamagata at breakneck speed to get on the bullet train so you could get to the Tokyo Game Show. So fast was I driving, I got a speeding ticket for the first time ever in my life.
It wasn't the Tokyo Game Show itself. It was a party that I said I would attend. Sorry, Chris.
You son of a bitch. This is a friendship in tatters. What a way to end this week's podcast. I'm so angry. I'm going to shout at you the moment this podcast is over.
I'm a nightmare.
But keep the comments, stories, questions coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next time. Next week's do it all over again, folks. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, we'll see you next Wednesday. Have yourself a fantastic week.
There might be another podcast. You never know.
G This was a Stakhanov production.